advanced level of technological incompetence on our part, the first half hour of this episode of Calvis and Damien's New Music Bazaar must be rebuilt. In the meantime, here are the last 90 minutes, beginning with our conclusion of our interview with Sarah Peebles. Well, let's go back to Toronto. Toronto and the
hot dot com
cafe, where it's hard to say exactly what was going on, but there was a lot of noise and checking and so forth. Let's start out with to get it back into our interview with Sarah Peebles. We'll listen to the conclusion of a piece that exists in two versions, one audio and one video. This is the conclusion of the soundtrack for the video version of Strange Nature, music by Sarah Peebles.
Thank you.
Music by Sarah Peebles, and it's so hard. I mean, we're doing this as a radio event, and there's so much of it that has visual characteristics, and it's hard to carry that across.
And I guess it's worth saying that what you just heard, that the 12-minute excerpt you just heard, you might have been able to tell something was a little bit off about it, in that it is a soundtrack to a video.
Yeah.
So all the edits were made in consideration with what you're looking at. But the other side of the coin is that I think a lot of this is pretty musical in and of itself. And I think you can hear that if you decide to play, if you have time to play the 60-minute performance or excerpts of that performance, you'll hear that even though you weren't there, it's got a lot in it. It's got a lot going on. Takashi Harada is one of the most brilliant improvisers I've ever met and may ever meet. He's the Ond Martineau performer. And Kazue Mizushima is also really quite brilliant and fascinating in how she deals with string telephones. Now, that's harder to pick up in our performance because we don't have a really good indoor recording of stuff she does in a controlled environment. That's quite visual. And I just consider myself real fortunate to work with those two musicians. And that's what I got to say about that.
Well, let's move. Gosh, there's so many questions to ask you. How about talking a little bit about your use of the computer and working with Macs? And maybe you can explain what that is.
Well, and maybe in the context of what of the Strange Nature project, too, in that here I was in this park and I wanted to diffuse the sound. So, first of all, I'll start by saying I was dealing with computer-assisted performance, but also sound diffusion in this case. Not in the real fancy sense of the idea, as you would get in France with, you know, 40 loudspeakers and a huge console. Yes. We did have a huge console, but what I was doing was putting a bunch of speakers in the marsh and a bunch of smaller speakers up in the trees and then two main speakers in the back, and routing the different kinds of samples I had to those two areas. So, as you'd guess, the water, the frogs, the bell sounds came out of the marsh, and in the trees were the various cicada and crickets. You know, not in total seriousness either, because, you know, the park isn't this pristine natural environment. It's a reflection of the nature we love, and that's what the music is. It's just a reflection of the nature I love, and it's not meant to be an exact replication of that. That would be kind of boring for me. I like to take sounds that are intriguing. For whatever reason, if they're intriguing, they could be natural, but then again, it could be it could be the sound of pachinko, which is a kind of pinball in Tokyo that has an interesting sound, or whatever. And I like to, you know, mix it up. And so, in doing that, I have gathered all these sounds, and then I started working earlier in 1992 with Sample Cell, which is an internal sampler in the computer. So you can put the sounds in a kind of order and play them live off the keyboard. So instead of a traditional scale going up the keyboard, I've got a bunch of different water, and I've got it organized so that the water that's been slowed down is on the left-hand lower half of the keyboard, and the plips are in a certain third of it, and the plops are in another third, and the gurgles are in another third.
Okay. All right.
And if you press the keyboard, you know, with pressure, you'll get the lower sounds actually sampled at half rate, and if you touch it lightly, you'll get, you know, higher sounds. That's a real basic idea, but now I've got, you know, 24 different ones with different ideas for each group of sounds I'm working with. That's the water one. There's also, you know, bells, different kinds of bugs, the show, loons, and pachinko, other stuff. Add to that Max, M-A-X,
right.
Max. And that, you can make things sound ridiculously fast, as if you're on speed
Max
or something.
Max is a sort of a software front panel for affecting sound, for generating it, modifying it.
That's a different Max. That's DSP. That's a different function of Max.
Okay.
DSP is a real-time affecting of sound, which you can only do with a different kind of computer than what I have, SGI or NX. The other part of Max, there's two parts. The part of Max I'm dealing with is a programming environment for controls. And so it's real flexible. You can control your lights with it. You can control your security system with it. It doesn't matter. You're sending out information. So the math part of what I'm doing is real basic, because I don't really like math all that much. And so I've got some patches which are sending signals every 2 seconds and every 2.5 seconds and every 3 seconds and so forth to with information about velocity and information about range and different things that MIDI accepts information about. And I can ask that to go to any one of my instrument samples, sample instruments. That's a term they use. You know, it could be my water instrument, it could be the cicada instrument. So the same, I can get the same effects.
You think of them as water instruments and cicada instruments. Is that how you think of it in your own?
Well, this whole idea of instrument is an imposition from Sample Cell, from DigiDesign, which is now Avid, I think, or Opcode. Anyway, it's an industry approach to hoping people will like it because it's like a keyboard. And no, I don't really think of it like that necessarily. I think of it like a bunch of sounds. I think of it like a bunch of sounds. Oh, we got this bunch of bugs here. a bunch of water over there. And the instrument is what I've made out of Max. It's dill patch. Dill patch is an instrument because it's got, that's a graphic kind of interface for accessing all my different bunches of sounds. And I can, with my mouse, turn them on and off in real time and decide what I'm going to do and when. And it's got a limited kind of flexibility, because it's just a different approach to making sound than playing a violin. But what I've done is I have some specific patches, they're called patches, that I've made for the cat purr, the bells. But I can also reroute those to different samples, and I'll get unexpected things, and sometimes things don't work very well. And I can also route that information to an external SPX or anything else that, for example, I've used to affect pitch change in real time. So if I have the Owned Martineau being plugged into the SPX 90, for example, and I have the pitch change function selected, well, we hear him, in this case it's a he, him coming through the effects unit, his sound. And if I select one of my max functions that goes into the MIDI input of the SPX90, it'll make that pitch change select rapidly. And quasi-randomly, because the patch I made was quasi-random. And I can just turn it on and off and kind of play with it. So we hear him, in this case Takashi Harada, or if you play the excerpt from Cinnamon Sphere, you hear Nylon Ferreira on electric guitar. And at the same time, you hear that being changed and mixed up, or the tape of the cicada. I have a tape of cicada that are also being pitch shifted, you know, real quickly. So Max can affect anything that it's plugged into. It can be plugged into sample cell or whatever. And if you play the Curse of Border Vacuums, which we might as well play next, it's on the Music Works CD. I was first experimenting with radio. So I had a radio with 3-4 different presets, and I was kind of surfing, seeing what's on. I had a preset to CKLN, CIUT, our local community stations in the CDC. And then I would turn on and off this this arrangement that affects the pitch as I felt like it. And at the same time, I'd make some other music with dill patch, which was attached to the sample cell. So you've got a couple things going on at once. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I'm fascinated. I'm listening. Please, continue.
So in the case of the Curse of Border Vacuums, I've got periodic things going on. There's a lot of periodicness going on here because, well, for no particular reason, it's just gotten to that point right now. So I've got some periodic cicada that come on, and I've got some periodic, a wandering bass line going on, and a periodic couple of bugs.
And we had a couple of bugs like that.
And then you hear the radio coming in and changing around and goofing around. Goofy radio. And it's most obvious when he starts talking about Marconi in the second half of the piece. About 6 minutes into the 8-minute piece, he'll start talking about Marconi. I was sampling CIUT that day because I was going to be performing that night. And this was actually my backup tape in case my computer didn't work that night. And it was for Radio on Radio, and that was a big deal CIUT Radio did last year. It's a big symposium on 100 years of radio. But you can hear him pitch shifting around talking about Marconi, and, you know, so you can play with context. You can play with sound for sound's sake or language for the context, the sake of context. And you can probably do, you know, many other things. Those are two examples.
Let's hear that. I said we should hear that next, so let's do it.
The Curse of Border Vacuums is named after a book by Jane, not a book, but a chapter in a book by Jane Jacobs about city planning. And I live right next to Pape and Danforth, which is a big border vacuum. And thought I'd name it after that.
Here it is, music by our guest today on the Bazaar, Sarah Tebow.
Thank you.
Thank you. The telegraph took its impact radio across to the mainland,
and then by the telegraph network thereafter. And he knew, and Marconi knew, that communication for money was supposed to have to monopoly. So out of bittlement, he said to Marconi, look, I insist on paying you a shilling for sending this
across the mainland. Marconi, okay, then had the satisfaction of having originated the world's first commercial radio message.
But it was not long before Marconi hit upon the idea of ships having their own shipboard radio systems. And to further this end, set up in 1900, the Marconi Marine Company. Not only to
make the idea,
but also in later years to
provide the staff with a service. Keith Dennis explains why.
It's more than just putting a radio on a ship and saying, like, it's sold to a radio because a ship's radio is valuable to some tool. There are shore stations for it.
Who is going to pay for the shore station?
The Marconi Company.
Aren't it a business that can cost
you because
they could dodge your post office?
I'm
not going to say they provide
the shores.
By Sarah Peebles, and we're gonna veer away from your music because we have so much of it we will be able to play on other programs. And let's talk. You yourself are a radio producer. You have a cutting edge program here in Toronto.
Yeah, I try to be cutting edge when I can be, and I've been involved in community radio since college. I started doing the Audible Woman, which was back then Classical Woman, in 1984. And I had a professor, Susan Cook at the time, who, that was her program, she needed some help. I started helping her as a student. And then she went and had a kid and had a lot of stuff to do, so I took it over. And I wanted to make it a grassroots thing, and I was just too lazy to go to the library and buy stuff, so I started soliciting materials, at that time mainly through the American, then known as the Minnesota Composers Forum newsletter. And they circulated that information, and that got recirculated by a bunch of people who picked it up all around the world. And that was, like I say, around 1986 by then. And I started to get piles of tapes in every week from women all around the world. And this was really exciting. And I was doing the show on a weekly basis out of a station known as WCBN in Ann Arbor, which has a very small signal and... It is one of the few kind of left-ish, wing-ish radio stations around there. And then I went to Japan a couple of times, as I've said. And when I moved here in Toronto, it took about a year or so. Finally, I got on CIUT Radio in Toronto. And I did the weekly show for an hour. But at one point, about a year and a half or two ago, I switched to doing 2 hours a month. Which makes for, you know, a radio slot I actually rather like, 2 hours, and allows me to have more free time to be a composer. So now, the point of the show really is to try to expose audiences to work by women, because at least as I found out in the world of the university, women are kind of far and few between, and often really discouraged from being composers. I mean, either in a subtle way or in an overt way. There were both overt and covert influences at the University of Michigan, I must say, to be completely honest. Anything from professors saying boldly to students on a regular basis, oh, you might want to get married someday. You might not want to be a composer.
This is what year?
This is 1983 to 89.
It's hard to believe at that late a time.
It's hard to believe that that particular professor's well-known attitudes were never questioned, and that no one ever slapped him on the wrist. There were other professors who were known throughout the student body, or those some people in the student body, as regularly hitting on students, both male and female, which, you know, does not encourage you to continue with your work and actually results in people becoming depressed because you're in a position of not having power. And it's hard to know what your rights are. And it's hard to know what's going on, what's happening. So anyway, that's no help. And just the lack of women around in general. And I think if you go, no matter where you go, you'll hear stories. And they're all different. And they're all interesting. And unique about the experiences women have had. So I wanted to create some positiveness. You know, I wanted to create positive support to the composers themselves who I've been in contact with, and I wanted to create a really active environment for our listeners to hear the work of women. And I must say, I've really been intrigued by the quality of music I've gotten from people. I mean, as with any programming, there's a lot of mediocre stuff to sift through. But there's a lot of really, really active and talented women in the world.
Well, let me ask you this question, which is the kind of thing that comes up in all sorts of conversations. Is there a gender difference in the character of the music?
I think it depends on the person. Because, you know, there's gender differences amongst men. I mean, that sounds like an odd thing to say, but, you know, I'm sure you can think of some men whose way of dealing with people, let's make it not musical per se.
Sure.
There are some men whose ways of dealing with people are much less typically masculine than others, right? Just who they are. Who knows why they are? But they just are. And I'm not saying they're necessarily, they could be effeminate, or they could just simply be not what you are brought up to assume. And same with women in how they deal with people. Right. So I would think that naturally the same can be said of music. And other than that, I think it's pretty interesting to speculate about how culture impacts on the decisions people make. And it
I
does.
I think that's part of the question. Does it make a difference in the ultimate sort of musical result because of the difference in position in the world over time? Or,
you know, the reason it's hard to calculate that is because I think there are a lot of women and men who adapt to their environment. And in adapting to their environment, make music that might be different from what we expect. And then it's the same in a non-musical sense in how we deal with people. Same thing. So there are a lot of really aggressive women out there. Is it because that's their character? Is it because they're adapting to their environment? I don't know. But that's the way it is. And then again, there's women out there who are really conscious of not being aggressive, really conscious of subtlety and cycle and rhythm. And is that an adaptation as well? Or is that being really in tune with social forces? And then again, there are men who are like that as well. I can say, as just speaking for me, that it can be difficult getting the kind of attention that I think I would get if I were more aggressive as a composer, being the creator of music that isn't that, I don't know, punchy or whatever.
Punchy.
You know, and all of these words, actually, you know, they're we could study the words in this conversation
well,
and write a paper on them.
You, in fact,
we
have a test in the magazine Music Works. What did you call it?
Oh, it's the My Tech Contest.
The My Tech Contest, yes.
And My Tech, well, the article is High Tech versus My Tech, and talking about just my experiences dealing with technology and music and improv and stuff. And I've come across a lot of words that really perturb me in computer use and computer speak. The Mac stuff has Uzi, U-Z-Y, rather U-Z-I, to characterize a patch that has rapidly firing signals are rapidly, kind of signal. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, did a 14-year-old make this up? Why do we have to be like this? You know, give me a break. And there's a lot of that comes up. And I was really stunned when I heard a story that a local composer, Wend Bartley here, who's an electroacoustic composer, was at a disc-swapping party at Saved by Technology, and that's the name of a store here. And a guy came up to her and he said, "Hey, can I rip that disc?" And she said, "What did she say?"
"What?"
And he said, "Can I rip that disc? Can I rip your disc?" And she said, "Well, did you have to put it like that?" And I don't think he even reacted to it. You know.
And you meant make a copy?
Yeah. That really stunned me, you know, as it did her. And I heard about that through Andra McCartney, who does a lot of research into women's experiences, actually, and a lot of interesting things have been passed on to me from reading and talking to Andra McCartney. And she's a local composer, too, as well as musicologist. So some of the other terms, I don't know, they just come up, you know, and you ask yourself, well, why do we say hit? How many times has your website been hit? Well, why do we have to hit it, you know? How many times has your website been stroked? I don't know. I mean, who makes these things up, right? I mean, you could say how many times has your website been touched? You know, how many times has your website been tapped?
Tapped,
hey, you could tap it. But, you know, what would the world be like if nobody cared, or if people were more oriented towards being really sexual about it? I mean, it's just a word, but it makes you feel a certain way. Well, we're desensitized to that after a while. And I guess, you know, causes me to think and act if I can.
We need to let your music speak for you for the rest of the show today.
Okay.
Let's hear one more thing. It's a good thing to wrap up our interview with you, as we have the jazz in the background.
If you'd like to end with Cinnamon Sphere, I've given you a tape which is a little bit longer than the excerpts on MusicWorks 66.
All right.
So either you'll hear 10, 20 minutes of a performance with Nylan Pereira, electric guitar, and myself, computer assisted performance at the Art Gallery of Ontario, which you will not see the calligrapher who's performing to this at the same time. Or you'll hear 10 minutes from the MusicWorks 66 CD, and I'm sure you'll let them know that buy these things, people can order these things.
And they'll be able to visit you on the website.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, at our Vaulted Media website. So,
yeah, I'm coming up with some donut holes. Some
donuts.
Donut holes
important factor
of sound for you to listen to. We'll see how long that takes. It's in the making.
Sarah Peebles, thank you very much for joining us on The Bazaar.
Thank you. It's been bizarre.
And we will, in fact, hear the shorter version of Cinnamon Sphere from MusicWorks 66. And you can find... Yes, you were saying?
Over WGDR Plainfield, which we did mention 43 minutes ago, though we understand no one heard us.
True enough. MusicWorks 66, MusicWorks, which we've mentioned before today as available in Toronto. Look up our website and we'll tell you exactly where you can find it. Also, an extraordinary compact disc with Sarah Peebles' work called Suspended in Amber. This release is on Innova, not available in the U.S., but you can get it by mail order out of Canada or Japan. Again, check it out on the website. Also, a CD magazine called The Aerial, A-E-R-I-A-L, The Aerial, has Sarah Peebles' excerpts from Kai, which we played a few weeks ago. So all three of those, a little bit difficult to find, even though The Aerial, it comes from the U.S., it's only available through mail order. So look us up on the website, www.maltedmedia.com, for those particular pieces. And now...
Now the shortened version of...
Cinnamon Sphere, music by Sarah Peebles.
Thank you.
Cinnamon Sphere, music by Sarah Peebles, that performed in Toronto at the Art Gallery of Ontario with Nylan Pereira on altered electric guitar.
And this sequence of interview and performances by Sarah Peebles, we would like to dedicate to our erstwhile, not erstwhile, but our listener that we know of out there.
A listener who has enjoyed our relaxed and tonal and comfortable and comforting and linear kind of programming in the past few weeks.
Immensely, and we would just like to remind him that, yes, we have taken our medication.
So you've decided that now on the Calvos and Damien New Music Bazaar on WGDR Plainfield, which
yes.
I say for the benefit of the upcoming hour.
Exactly.
We should increase our energy level.
Just to reflect back on the old standby rhythm and blues.
So we will then have music that is highly rhythmic and music that has lots of winds in it.
Exactly.
Combination of both.
Or highly wind and no rhythm at all.
Okay, good. We'll be hearing music by Anne LaBerge, music by Terry Riley, Nick Dudkowski, and many others in the course of the next 40 minutes. So sit back, don't relax, because you've got Calvos and Damien playing rhythm and blows. Rhythm and blows. Blows as in fraps, as in hitting. Blows as in wind instruments. And certainly rhythm.
As and also as in Anne LaBerge, and maybe some vocaling sooner or later.
Well, shall we go down the list?
Please do.
We'll turn this down just a bit. You're listening to Yoshihisa Taira's Hierophony for six percussionists, who will also be singing along in that. And before that, we heard Cindy McTee's Circuits with the Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music Wind Symphony. As I said, the smaller the orchestra, the longer the name.
That's right.
Right. With Eugene Corpron conducting that. Before that, Horacio Radulescu's Inner Time just sort of blended in along with Jan Leif's Hecla Volcano with the Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra.
Lots of both rhythm and blows in that sucker.
You betcha. Before that, Arthur Jarvinen's The Vulture's Garden, almost entirely rhythm and no slamming around in that one. Before Michael Lowenstern's Spasm for bass clarinet and tape, certainly one of our top 100 tunes.
Yes, both of us, I think, had it on the island.
Patrick Grant's Fields Amaze, an upcoming compact disc. This is a pre-release coming up in another month or two. Fields Amaze by Patrick Grant. Before that, the 40 Fingers saxophone. What is it, a quartet that works out to have 40 fingers?
Or I think it depends on if they've been irradiated.
That was Blue Quilt CD, Improvisation number 7. Before that, Anne Southam's Retuning for Viola, and then that blended nicely with Joseph Celli's Viola and Video. The latter played by Rivka Golani, and the previous played by the famous Malcolm Goldstein, who plays lots of this new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, Universe Zero, Danse from Monsieur du Dehors. Is that a favorite of yours?
It is. I never can remember the translation, but I always like bits of that, but in small doses.
In small doses. Bill Trimble and Daniel Wyman in the No Exits from the duo for saxophone and composer. Interesting CD in parts, nice parts. Before that, Henry Cow, another one of your interesting things. Now, that was an interesting collection of people who played in Henry Cow. Who was in that?
Fred Frith and Dagmar Krause, the astounding German chanteuse, and that was called War. It was written by a couple of the folks there. We only heard the last 1 minute.
Ah. Before that, we heard An Angel Moves Too Fast to See, the fifth movement of that, music by Reese Chatham for 100 guitars. And in a brand new release called Dinky Boy from Nick Didkowski and Dr. Nerve, we heard Eine Kleine Gamelan music. And before that, Terry Riley's Chord of War from Imbus Forsnai, The Light of Foresight. That wonderful, again, saxophones, that's the Rova saxophone quartet playing in that, tuned into a perfect intonation. Before that, Patrick Cohen's Drum Machine, a entertaining but somewhat weak work. It just sort of fit into our premise here, that Drum Machine.
It's Patrick certainly good Cohen. For one play, but it wears a bit after one.
So it do. And then at the top of that set, we began with the part of the theme of Rhythm and Blows from the CD Blow by Anne LaBerge. We heard Never Again.
And would you one more time mention what we are going out with?
Yes, from the Cremata Percussion Ensemble, a wonderful compact disc released about 10 years ago on Musical Heritage Society, Yoshihisa Taira's Hierophony 5 for six percussionists. We'll let you hear this wild one on our way out and get out of here quick and stop talking. Thomas and Damien show for today. See you next week. Check the website, Malted Media.
A production of Malted Media.